And I wish before we leave this place, you'd say, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pay the price and get the power of the Holy Spirit on my ministry and know what it is to have that voice speaking while I preach.
And now, great sermons from Fundamentalism.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now David was just a little lad, or a lad at the time. He was out tending the sheep. This is the time when Samuel came to Jesse's household and said, one of your sons is going to be the king. And Jesse trotted out his sons and played them all before Samuel. And Samuel kept saying, this is not the one, this is not the one, this is not the one. He said, do you have any more sons? Well, yes, he said, I have one. He's the baby boy. He's out taking care of the sheep. You wouldn't want him. And Samuel said, let's go see him. And Samuel went and anointed David as the king. But David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, and anointed with fresh oil he was. Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 2, I read, you need not turn to it. In verse 4, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Well, I thought David was anointed king before. He was. But now he's anointed with fresh oil. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. But that isn't all. You come to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 3, and you read, so all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil.
Now we come to one of the most popular sermons in fundamentalism, and one of the worst sermons in fundamentalism, certainly one of the most dangerous. The first thing to observe is that the anointings that are recorded in the books of Samuel and the book of Psalms do not impart to David any additional power of God after the first anointing. It's only at that first anointing, when he's still a young man, a child, really, that David receives the Spirit of God. After that, every time he is anointed, it is actually an indication by those who are anointing him that they are subjecting themselves to his authority. But Hiles preaches this whole sermon in terms of the anointing, meaning that there's this empowerment from the person being anointed, and that is not what happens in the scripture. Again, to preach the text, the preacher must be in subjection to the text. The preacher must preach what the text says. The preacher must not coerce the text into what the preacher is trying to say. An examination of these passages show that Samuel had given up on public life. Samuel was the prophet. He had given up on public life and was concentrating on training prophets. God, Samuel knew, had rejected Saul from being king, and apparently Samuel viewed that as an end to his own public ministry. He certainly did retire from public life after God rejected Saul, and clearly Samuel grieved for Saul, which is what we see in 1 Samuel 15:11, with more than just a passing type of grief. He was heartbroken over this, and God actually chides him for his continuing grief, as we see in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. God tells Samuel to go and anoint David. In a single sentence, God shows that Samuel's grief for Saul is for nothing, for God says, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now, in terms of proper exegesis, we have to understand what the Bible is saying to us, what its purpose is, and then we have to know how each piece of the Bible supports what the Bible says and contributes to it. I believe that the central theme of the Bible is to present and exalt God's redemption of man. The way that 1 Samuel contributes to the Bible's central purpose is to show us God's interaction with those who trust in him and how he reveals his grace to them. In this book, we see those whom God inspires with prophecy, those whom God anoints for authority, those who are quite ordinary and fear God and love him. We also see those who are the objects of God's wrath, the pretenders, the liars, the fearful, the frightening. And we see how God uses even those evil people to show those that love him that he is gracious to his people. God rebukes his own prophet because the prophet has seen God reject a king, and the prophet, one of the wisest, godliest men in history, gave up on the grace of God to the kingdom. Samuel went to work on building more prophets, but God had provided himself a king. There are acres and acres of God's grace, even in a time of judgment, that we cannot perceive until he shows us. He is ready, at the time he selects, to anoint those he has chosen. Even a prophet can be surprised by the abundant grace of God. In his sermon, Fresh Oil, Jack Hiles doesn't say any of this. In fact, in the sermon, he really preaches about himself, the limitations he faced, how he overcame them, and he creates this ethos from the sermon, from all the examples he uses of himself, of saying that you have to work really hard, you have to suffer, and if you're willing to suffer enough, if you're, quote, willing to pay the price, then you get this rush of power or this endowment of power that he calls being anointed with fresh oil. But what he's talking about does not have anything to do with what the Bible is talking about. These passages really are tremendous in showing us God's grace and his faithfulness to his promises to his servant David, but we're out of time for this, so we'll have to pick it up when I next get a chance to talk about this sermon, Fresh Oil by Jack Hiles.